I want to get you to turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. As we finish up our treat through God's Word, I know it's taken us some time, but we've tried to cover each book and bring something out of it. The book of Revelation is one of those difficult books. People ask me, well, what's the message of Revelation? And I've just said oftentimes, if you want to boil it down into one thing, it's this: God's people win. And there is no greater Super Bowl, if you will, than the one that has taken place behind the scenes. The one that we don't see everything that's going on because of what God is doing. And God has promised that His people will be victorious. And that's something we can take hope in. But with that in mind, I want you in your mind's eye to travel with me for just a moment. I'm not going to take you out of Waverly, Tennessee, but I just want you to imagine this right here, this scenario. You learned this week that there is a very famous person coming to this town, to Waverly, Tennessee. It is someone that you have wanted to see for as far back as you can remember. You just want to get near them. If nothing else, just to get a glimpse of them. And you find out there's going to be a parade, and they're going to be in it. And the entire county is turning out for this one parade because of the importance of this person. They're honoring this person. Various well-known people from other parts of society are going to be here too. They're going to be a part of this parade. And so you get here early. You get in line. You find a place to park. You get there on Main Street. And you're jostling for position because there are people from everywhere that have got lined the streets of this town where our parade route normally comes through to see this individual. You've got your children or your grandchildren with you. And then as the parade is making its way down, you may lift one of those grandsons or granddaughters onto your arms or on your shoulders so that they can see too. And you tell them, here they come, here they come. And as that individual comes by, you may even try to get out into the street just a little bit to get just as close as you can to them. Maybe you're fortunate enough that as they come by, they reach out their hand to you and you get to shake that hand. And then they're gone. And you're left with a memory, I got to see them. It was on this day. I got to shake their hand. I'll never forget that. I'll never wash that hand again. Folks, is that the way heaven is going to be? No, not at all. I mean, is it going to be such that when we finally, do we ask ourselves the question as Christians, will I finally get to see Him? Will I finally get to see Him? And will it be just a brief glimpse of Him? Will He even know who I am? Well, there are a lot of mysterious things that we find in the book of Revelation, but we also have some very clear answers. And I want to share with you something that we do find in Revelation 22. It's a beautiful picture that John has painted of that glorious time. In verse 1, he says, "Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of that street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." One of the things that I want you to take away from here tonight, it is the promise of God's Word, is this: that if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, you will see our Lord. You will see Him. And folks, the beautiful part of that is it's not going to be just a brief glimpse. No, at the end of our race, when we have finished our course and we've fought the good fight and we have kept the faith with the beginning of heaven, the promise for us is we are going to get to see Jesus in all of His glory. And it's not going to be a temporary sighting. It's not going to be just in a brief glimpse of Him passing by. It's going to be a continuing communion with Him throughout all eternity. And we're going to be in a place that will have some of the most pleasant surroundings that the human mind could ever imagine. What John says to us in these few words is that it's going to be a place where there is this pure water of the river of life flowing through. There is also going to be there in that place the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. And there is going to be a street. He says in verse 21 of chapter 21 that it's a street of pure gold like transparent glass. It'll be in the midst of a beautiful city. And the tree of life is on both sides of the river. And the leaves of that tree, he tells us, brings healing to the nations. And all of this that we will have the opportunity to experience is not going to be momentary. It's not temporal. It is eternal. It's going to last. And the beautiful thing about it all is that Jesus is the main attraction. The Lamb of God who has taken away our sin. And folks, no longer will we be walking by faith. No, on that day and from then on, we'll walk by sight. We'll see Him. But those who get to go there, those who have the opportunity to experience that beautiful place and the presence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit and all of God's holy angels are those who, as we find in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, they are those who have been qualified by God, as he says, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been qualified by God's grace to be there. And we who get to be there are people of hope. In 1 John chapter 3, there in verse 2, John would write these words. He said, "Beloved, we are now children of God. And it has not yet, or not appeared as yet, what we will be. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Now we are people of hope who have endured. He's not yet appeared to us, but that time is coming when He will. And not just that, we are a people who have not only endured, but we have been accepted by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on love, Paul makes the point there in verse 12. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I have been fully known." Right now, at present, you and I see dimly. We don't have the glimpse of God's glory and all of its beauty or of Christ's glory. Right now, we know in part. There are things that we don't know. There are things that I know we long to know. We long to have answers to, but we don't right now. But Paul says, then we'll see face to face. He says, then we will know fully, just as we have been fully known throughout our lifetime. Heaven, we're told, is a place for folks who are pure. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God's home is for those who have kept themselves pure. They are promised, "You will see Me." God, that is. And Jesus only wants those who are pure. If you go back to 1 John chapter 3, there in verse 3, John makes the statement in verse 3 that everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. We want to see Him. We have a hope of seeing Him. And so he says we purify ourselves. We keep ourselves pure. And the reason for that is because of what Jesus wants to present to His Father. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, the many sermons that have been preached on marriage and the way that husbands and wives are to respond to each other. But over there in Ephesians chapter 5, what Paul says in verse 27 is that Jesus' goal is to present to His Father His bride. Well, who is that? It's you. It's me. It's His church. His goal is to present His bride in all her glory, having, as Paul says, no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish of any sort, that she will be holy and blameless. That's us. And Christ's goal is to say, Father, here's my bride. Here's my beautiful bride that I have brought to present to you in all her glory, because I've cleansed her and made her pure and whole, and she's holy and she's blameless. In Revelation 21, back in verse 27, the statement is made that nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying is going to be permitted to enter into that beautiful abode of the righteous. No, it's for God's people. It's for those who have longed for His appearing, who have looked forward to His coming. It is for those who are perfect. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, the writer there says that our righteous spirits have been made perfect. But who's done that? Well, Peter says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that it is the God of all grace who's done that. Because as Peter puts it, the God of all grace has called us to His eternal glory in Christ, and He is the one, Peter says, who is perfecting us. And so you as God's people are going to be able to see Jesus face to face in all His glory, and you're going to be presented by the Son to the Father in all of your glory, but you have been made perfect by Christ and through the grace of God. Folks, all of this is going to be genuine. There is no pretense. There is nothing that is made up. We can know that it is going to be real because of something else that John writes there in verse 4, right after he tells us that we will see Him. And it is this statement, and His name will be on their foreheads. His name stands for God's, for the name of God, for who God is and His authority. It stands for everything about Him, His holiness, His righteousness, His purity, His love. And what it says is, you are mine. You belong to me. And you know what? As saints, we will look like our Father. If you go back again to that passage I mentioned a moment ago in 1 John, there in chapter 3, John makes this statement. Yet again, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. We're going to be like Him. We're going to be just like Him. You know, we often hear the phrase, like father, like son. Or he's just like his daddy, or she's just like her mama. But we're going to be just like our Father. And we're going to see Him just as He is. We will be, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we will be those who are conformed to the image of His dear Son. And we are going to share, as Peter would say over in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, we're going to be people who share in what he calls the divine nature. And we will know that we belong to him. And we will know that because we bear his image. And because he has placed his seal upon our foreheads. And any doubt about any of that is going to be removed. Now my question for you tonight is very simple. It is this. Are you one of his? Do you belong to him? Are you faithful? Are you keeping yourself for the day in which your bridegroom will call you home in order to prepare you for meeting his Father? In Revelation 22, there is an invitation that is extended. It is found in verse 17. John writes this, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." Is this what you long for? To be eternally with God? Or is there something else that really you wish you had? In Psalm 17, verse 15, David writes these words. He says, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake." Can you say that? Father, I want to behold your righteousness and the righteousness of your Son. I want to know when I awake that I will behold your face. I will see you. I don't know of anything that is a better way to end our trek through God's Word than with a desire to think about what we are looking forward to and what awaits us as God's people. But perhaps you're here tonight and you're not one of God's people. You've never confessed the name of Jesus. You're still living apart from Him. Satan still has his control over you. You're still a slave of sin, as Paul would say. My prayer for you tonight is that you will break the bonds of that enslavement, that you will be willing tonight to step out and to come down this aisle and to confess the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, that you will repent of any sin that you have lived in that has kept you away from God, and that you will confess Him and be buried with Him in baptism. The invitation that Ray has selected may be for you tonight, and if it is, it is God's invitation to you to come. And if you're a child of God who has drifted from that righteous path that God wants to lead you upon, then our prayer for you is let us pray with you and for you. Let us encourage you once again that you may be faithful before Him and live the rest of your days in that faithfulness. If you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.